Welcome to the very first installment of The Reading Man, a podcast devoted to books I find the time to get around to. I'm Pete Powers, and today's subject is Alan Bennett's delightful novella from 2007, The Uncommon Reader. Bennett's book imagines the gradual unraveling of the tightly woven world of British propriety when the Queen of England takes on a commonplace, yet still unsettling bourgeois identity. She becomes a reader. The story opens with the Queen walking her dogs and stumbling onto the Westminster Traveling Library, the British equivalent of a bookmobile. At first glance, this is hardly promising material. The Queen is interesting in concept, but for Americans at least, dull in practice. More, plot requires action, and action requires conflict. And reading? Well, reading and literary pursuits in general are not the first place one goes to look for conflict or profound action. So it's to Bennett's credit that he finds here a world to work with. The majority of Bennett's career has been devoted to drama, and he is best known in the United States for the film adaptations of his plays, The History Boys, and earlier, The Madness of King George. I can well imagine Bennett pitching this novella to the money men in Hollywood. Emotionally frigid British monarch discovers bookmobile. Hilarity ensues. And indeed, I did find a good bit of this book hilarious. Its humor is drawn in part by our sense of dislocation as the Queen discovers her vocation as a reader in her maturity, finding a passion in old age that is typically taken as the reserve of alienated and precocious adolescence, of young boys and girls who use books to ward off the impending doom and dullness of a middle-class adulthood. Though Bennett never goes so far, I half want to imagine the Queen of England stalking the corridors of Buckingham Palace, a tattered copy of The Catcher in the Rye, or One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, or Catch 22 peeking out from a hip pocket of a ragged pair of blue jeans. Indeed, this novella is a kind of Bildungsroman. The Queen, through reading, discovers herself as a simple, separate person, a human being among other human beings, rather than a body who fulfills a queenly role. This, of course, is the source of conflict, for to be a queen is only partly about privilege and prerogative. It is also about duty and responsibility to a role. One of the pleasures of this book is Bennett's generosity in imagining the darkness that accompanies the privilege of the well-born, not least the dehumanizing aspects of perpetually occupying a role and affecting a public mask. Through much of the book, an accusing voice declares the Queen's readerly obsessions beneath her calling. The voice belongs to a palace factotum, Sir Kevin Scatcherd. In the following exchange, Sir Kevin frets about public reaction to the Queen's preoccupations and suggests a press release might serve good political purposes. "I don't see," said the Queen, "why there is any need for a press release at all. Why should the public care what I am reading? The Queen reads. That is all they need to know. So what?" I imagine would be their general response. "To read is to withdraw," said Sir Kevin, "to make oneself unavailable. One would feel easier about it if the pursuit itself were less selfish." "Selfish?" "Perhaps I should say solipsistic."
"Perhaps you should."
Sir Kevin plunged on. "Were we able to harness your reading to some larger purpose, the literacy of the nation as a whole, for instance, the improvement of reading standards among the young?"
"One reads for pleasure," said the Queen. "It is not a public duty."
"Perhaps," said Sir Kevin, "it should be." The triumph of this exchange, and many others like it in the book, is that they turn the Queen, most uncommon of us all, into what we could only call the common reader. Indeed, Sir Kevin's voice is not simply the voice of ritual expectation pressing down upon a royal. It is the voice of social approval that presses down on all of us who love books for their own sake. The history of reading, especially since the great ages of literacy made reading available to the masses, has been replete with cautionary tales about social and psychic ills that attend to reading. Among the most pernicious of these ills? That readers insist on being alone, and that they serve no visible social purpose.
Sir Kevin's is the voice of utility that says that every human action must pay obeisance to the bottom line. His is the voice of the literary theorist who imagines the only worthwhile purposes of a literary education must be to redress the grievances of the oppressed. It is the style of an educational system that looks askance at the student with a nose buried in a novel or a poem, and imagines the only worthwhile education as one with an internship attached or a certificate for a career in the offing. His is the voice that values our roles, but values our persons not at all. Ironically, of course, both the Queen and Sir Kevin are slightly off in this exchange. In reading, the Queen discovers not only herself, but the wonder and complexity of others, human beings who, prior to her reading, were subjects or citizens of the Commonwealth, but not persons. Her reading gives her a generosity of the imagination that, in the end, allows her to see her own complicity in giving ritual sanction to the often tawdry and usually vicious world of national and international politics. However quixotic in actual effect, the Queen's reading leads to a refusal to go along to get along. Indeed, reading is itself part and parcel of that refusal. Of course, this suggests that Bennett is a hopeless romantic and not a little bit nostalgic. Since Wordsworth, writers have imagined vainly that men of letters were the leaders of revolutions. Bennett's work exalts figures who are willing to step outside of or resist the roles that society assigns to them. This willingness itself is attached to a love of reading or the arts, or at least a certain inner stance that refuses to believe that following protocol is the most virtuous of human endeavors. That Bennett finds this capacity in the lovers of books may recommend him primarily as a lover of lost causes. The average American reads less than a book a year for pleasure, and the British are no better. This suggests the double irony of Bennett's title. The Queen is an uncommon reader because she is not, in fact, a commoner. Thus, we take delight that she is one of us. On the other hand, the kind of reader that she is becoming is all too uncommon. A beautiful and rare and disappearing thing signifying a world diminishing, if not already lost. I don't doubt that my students, perhaps my own children, would pick up and read The Uncommon Reader as an artifact of a strangely distant and different world, viewing it with the detached amusement of the anthropologist rather than the warmth of a relative. Bennett's world is surely one lost to their memories, if not to mine. My name is Pete Powers, and you've been listening to The Reading Man. Podcasts from The Reading Man are archived at thereadingman.wordpress.com and at blogs.messiah.edu/listenup.